Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, 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 everyone tonight. How's everyone? This is your guy, Michael Washington, better known as the Tree Shaker, Baba Witafa, Father of Many Nations. Welcome tonight, Radio Land. Greetings again. It's that time again. Welcome to another episode of People Power Radio right here in Oklahoma City, where I'm your host with the most. We do it for you in kind and your loved ones and all that's accounted and appointed here. Thank you all so much for joining in with us. As always, we have an interesting topic tonight. We're going to be discussing tonight about the 13th Amendment to the United States Constitution and its importance to the African Americans here in the Western Hemisphere, as well as how it applies to blacks here in the United States of America. We have our sister, very important, very highlighted, and very educational historian on our line. She's been pretty much a pretty good Facebook friend of mine. We've done a lot of discussions, and we've traveled all many ways as far as mentally speaking. And this is Sister Pam Sam. She's going to be here to our special guest, and she's going to talk about the 13th Amendment, put her spin on it, as well as give us the highs and lows of what it is and how we can benefit greatly from the intent of it and why we were given it. All praise are due to the Most High God. As always, y'all, you know our show tonight. Our radio audience, we have you in mind, number one, and without you, we would be nothing. Again, this is your radio show. I'm just simply your host with the most to make sure that your words, your ideas, your privileges, and your peace of mind gets out into where you can be heard without any ridicule or any muffleness, any doubt, any questions. It's all about your radio station, so I'm just here to give you a voice. Again, thank you all for, again, tuning in tonight. All right, before I recognize our wonderful guest tonight, Sister Pam Sam, what I'm going to do is take a little bit of a minute here and just talk a little bit about the definition of what the 13th Amendment means, and it reads as follows. The 13th Amendment to the United States Constitution was designed to and actually supposedly have abolished slavery and involuntary servitude except as a punishment for a crime. Okay, well, we understand that. And the amendment was passed on January 1st, 1865, and was ratified by 27 states on December 26, 1865. Now, having said that amount here, I'm not going to take up much more of your time tonight, but before we get out of here, I want to, again, thank everybody who just tuned in, and, again, Sister Mayad and Brother Bomani, who just tuned in as well. Thank y'all very much. As you know, you're definitely going to be giving your time to say what's on your minds as well. So thank y'all again for joining. How you doing, Susie? And Rico or Androto? I'm sorry. I may have gotten the name wrong, but don't hold it against me, man. You can't catch me anyway. No. Okay, y'all. All right, y'all, here, without any further ado, we're going to call up our Sister Pam Sam. Sister Pam, how you doing there? What's going on with you?
I'm doing absolutely fantastic, and I wanted to tell everyone I am the founder of a nonprofit, and it's African Holocaust Museum. And anytime you say the word Holocaust, a lot of people assume it is only associated with Jewish people during World War II, that no one else can have a Holocaust. Our Holocaust has been the longest, and I want to tell everyone it hasn't ended. We are still in a Holocaust.
Wow. Ooh, you sure know can talk about that. Go ahead on. Ooh.
And the 13th Amendment in the USA is one of the different pieces of our Holocaust that we're going to have to get corrected, and nobody else is going to do it for us because they're not affected by it.
Okay. Oh, man. Come on. I'm listening.
And the first thing I want to bring up is the term slavery. It is different kinds of slavery.
Uh-huh.
What the U.S. and the Western world practiced was chattel slavery.
Okay.
And chattel slavery is where that person, for the rest of their lives, for the rest of their children's lives, their children's lives, their wealth is being stolen. That's what chattel. I own you. You have children, they belong to me. that kind of slavery had never happened before in mankind. When slavery is mentioned in the Bible, it is not chattel slavery. It's sort of like a job. That's what it was. Think about it. The Hebrews in Egypt that were building and doing things for them, they could marry who they wanted to. They could leave if they wanted to. That is slavery. That's what we're all doing right now with our JOBs, try to get off your job. That is slavery. But the U.S. practice, the U.S. and the Western world and the Europeans brought in chattel slavery against Africans.
Wow.
And in the 13th,
so what is the difference between the two then?
The difference between two is that you can leave the other slavery in the Bible. Your children weren't necessarily owned. The Egyptians did not rape the Hebrews. Am I right or am I right?
That's right. Come on. That's right.
They didn't rape them. In chattel slavery, the men and the women were raped by the owners. That didn't happen in the Bible. And actually, that term slavery in the Bible has turned a lot of people against the Bible because of that. But it is a misconstruent of what that word means. They bring it to the chattel slavery that we have experienced as Black people and telling us that we didn't need to get away from this kind of mess. That just doesn't make sense. So that made people turn against the Bible, justifiably so, not understanding that there was a different definition on it. Now, getting back to the 13th Amendment, where it says that it gets rid of slavery and indentured servitude, it didn't. It only got rid of chattel slavery. It did not get rid of indentured because when you commit a crime, you are an indentured servant of the state and you get paid nothing.
Wow.
So that is what there are some Democrats that are trying to correct the 13th Amendment, but you ain't going to hear about it on TV. You're not going to read about it because the people that control it are the ones that are using it. The people that control the land. The people
Hold up now. You when my get my tonsils get to rolling, I got to say something. Now you saying that? Now let me make sure I'm right. You said that the people that's controlling it is not going to let the Democrats vote for the abolishment of the 13th Amendment in and of itself, right?
Yeah, they're not.
What?
AT&T, Verizon, Walmart, just to name a few of the corporations that are using prison labor to increase the amount that their owners are getting, the shareholders are getting, and how many companies and people are shareholders of all these corporations.
Well, I got you. Okay.
Right.
Wow.
Their expenses are low because they're using prison labor. So then, and they contribute to the campaigns of all of these elected officials. So all they have to say is, boo, you vote for this, and you're not going to get that $5 million donation we were going to give you. You ain't going to get it.
Oh,
so what they going to do?
Man.
It's all about the Benjamin. So that avenue ain't going to work. It will work through the judicial system. because in the judicial system, you can bring up evidence. You can put it to the courts, and it's where it's showing. It is not what it says it is. Just Brown versus the Board of Education, it was a lot of series of lawsuits that finally broke up that separate but equal. And that's mm-hmm. the same thing that we have to do with the 13th Amendment, is go through that long process that way, because it's not going to happen through legislation, especially with the Senate, with that filibuster.
So basically what you were talking about, you were talking about Plessy versus Ferguson, where it says separate but equal would not stand. That was a Supreme Court case regarding Brown versus Board of Education. And I got to say myself, it's very true, because ain't no kind of way you can have a separate but equal when one group has all the money, has all the buildings, has all the schools, books, and everything else. So, again, I kind of agree with that. But let me take a break, and we'll be coming back with our sister here, Pam Sam. Okay. She's going to be talking a little bit more about our 13th Amendment to the United States Constitution. Hang with me, y'all. We're going to play a little bit about the OJs, and I'll be right back. Stay tuned. Rock the house tonight. Y'all stay with us. We're just getting started. Tonight right in Oklahoma City, at least it's 27 freezing. Stay close. It's yours, Baba. We top of Father of Nations right here with you on People Power Radio, where I'm your host with the most. Tonight we got a very exciting program. We were talking about the 13th Amendment to the United States Constitution. And, of course, we have our beautiful, talented sister, Pam Sam. I'm not scared of her, though. I'm too far away. She can't catch me, so I ain't worried about it. But, no, y'all let me catch that. But anyhow, this is a very great topic tonight, y'all. We're talking about the 13th Amendment and how it was allegedly designed to outlaw and abolish slavery. We're going to let her take a few more minutes here to tell us a little bit more about her wing of it. And then we, again, as always, we have our other special guests who are going to give their comments as well. So if you will, sister, go ahead. We're going to pick it back up away. We're going to pick it back on what you were saying earlier, that the people that work for the citizens are not going to allow them to abolish the 13th Amendment in and of itself, because, they, like you said, they pay their bills. It just so happened that an angry activist, a lady by the name of, matter of fact, that's all I know about is angry activists, and she said herself that the people, like the politicians, they work for us. I mean, do you agree with that as well? I mean, what's your opinion of that? Now, we're still on the 13th Amendment, but I'm just asking that question.
Yeah, that former President Carter said just as soon as the Supreme Court allowed corporations to start giving to campaign donations, that's when our democracy started dying. Our one man, one vote, that's when it started. Because they have more money than us. That's what President Carter said, and it's proven to be the fact that money talks and everybody else walks. Look what the military budget, $770 billion.
Wow.
For, I think for 1 year. Nobody complained. The Democrats didn't complain. The Republicans didn't complain. They just switched it on through. Because you know that that industry fund a lot, send money to a lot of their campaigns. So they're not going to say anything. The Jewish, the Israel gets so many billions of dollars from us.
That's right.
Who gives? They donate to the campaigns of the electorate. And anyone who don't go with what they say don't get paid. It was one black representative. She brought that up. Of course, she was hushed pretty soon after that because she wasn't willing to go along with it. So you go along or you get silent.
Oh, man. Wow. I mean, that is really incredible news that you're talking about. So,
right. Our vote, the Electoral College was set up just for our votes not to count. One man, one vote, not to count.
Wow.
With the Electoral College.
You know, that is really a frightening reality. All that you're saying is very true because I've read it many times myself, being a political activist in and of itself, been in for many years. And again, this Electoral College, like I said, it's all just set up for a make-believe, make you think you participate in a political system, which in reality you're not, because if your votes mean anything, what the hell is the Electoral College for? You know, so you're definitely right on that. Go ahead.
Back to the 13th Amendment. That is just one thing. There's a lot of other things, too. We'll talk another time on this credit, this credit bureau.
Well, you got the right place to get here. We'll definitely talk about it.
Yeah, but with that 13th Amendment with over millions and millions of people in prison, no other country that's supposed to be a democracy has as many people in prisons as we do. And we just accept it, just like we do with the AK, 47, the guns on it. We just accept it because we've gotten used to it. And our media keeps up with it. So you got to leave this country to really see this country. What it is, and it cannot sustain. Yeah, this level of mess can't go on forever.
Oh my goodness! I tell you what. But now you know what you just made a great point. Then I'm gonna bring some others in. You just made a great point, sister, and you stated that the 13th Amendment was not designed to abolish slavery whatsoever. It was designed to make it legal. By saying, okay, if you commit a crime, we can put you in prison and make you work for nothing. But a lot of people don't realize that doing this white supremacist society, that's what they would do. They would lie on blacks and say they committed a crime and really didn't do it. And therefore, they would send them to prison having to pick their cotton and, you know, rice and sugar and tobaccos and, you know, and working in the fields or what have you, right? And then they would be banished. Talk to me about that, Paul. Let me, what's going on with that?
They knew at the inception because of that accept part of it. In case you commit a felony, they knew it then. that was the two halves of the same coin that made that agreement and bamboozled us thinking that slavery had ended when it had not. After the Civil War, that cotton still had to get picked. That sugar cane still had to be done. Right here in Houston, there were mass graves of young black boys that they found, and they had to find some other place to put them because it was near the prison here in the Sugar Land where I live in, where all the sugar cane was, that the blacks in this area after the Civil War were incarcerated and made to work. And actually, it was worse than when they were chattel slavery, because when they were chattel slavery, they belonged to somebody, and that somebody wanted to make sure they lived and had children. Doing Jim Crow.
Let me go. I gotta cut you off. I'll be back. But when I come back, I'm turning on everybody's mic. Usually we do it every night. I mean, every time we have some, you may have some questions coming at you, Sister Pam, so just be ready. There may be comments. I mean, we have a group here that we kick it in. We don't, and we mean business. We don't play. Let's put it like that. So I'll be right back, y'all. This is Baba Wetava, People Power Radio. Stay with me.
I was just paying $163 a month. Now my new bill, $28 a month. The company's called Auto, and it took me like 1 minute to qualify for this rate. My friends all got their bill cut down doing the same exact thing. I put the link below. Click the link, save money, thank me later.
What does it mean to be a featherless, two-legged, linguistically conscious creature born between urine and feces, whose body will soon be the culinary delight of terrestrial worms? That's what philosophy is all about. Every generation of the human species has to come to terms with how to love, how to live, how you going to deal with a catastrophe, how you going to preserve your style. This class revolves around three fundamental questions. One, what does it mean to be human? Terrifying query. Two, what are the forms of love that constitute the best of our humanity? Love of truth, love of goodness, love of beauty. Third, how does community, tradition, heritage shape and mold our conceptions of who we are as human beings? When you listen to music, you had to be willing to smile when you didn't expect it, or cry when you had no sense of
weight. All right, I'm Dr. Cornel West, everybody. This is your guy, Michael Washington, a tree shaker right here at People Power Radio. Tonight we have an interesting topic tonight that's going on, the 13th Amendment to the United States Constitution, which again was passed on January 31st, 1865. And actually it did nothing but legalize the illegal incarceration, adoption, and constitutional violations of the African-American community here in the Western Hemisphere. And as our guest tonight, Pam Sam, has already told us about, it would never be changed because those who are working in the legislatures are being paid by the lobbyists who in turn keep them in power and put money in their pockets and so forth and so on. So now we're going to get ready to go to Brother Bomani. I see your line lit up. I know that's you out there, unless I'm flipped out and lost my head here. Talk to me. Is that you?
Oh, you know it. You already know.
What's going on, brother? Revolutionary, by the way, y'all. One of revolutionary brothers. I did, young brother, making things happen. Talk to me, man. What's going on? What you think about tonight, man?
Well, it's just the same old, same old. I mean, you know, it's the same old story about how we have we've been done wrong again and again for so many years that we don't remember ever being right. And that's where we're going to have to do our work to understand the difference between right and wrong. We've got to recalibrate. We've got to reorientate ourselves to know up from down, good from bad, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We've lost our ability to grasp what's in our best interest. The fact that we, after the ending of chattel slavery, didn't make a move for our own system to govern ourselves, to be from under the thumb of our just recent masters. Yeah, that was definitely a lack that we are still paying for today. We should have established our own constitution from there. We should have said, you know what, we thank you all for your hospitality, but we'll take it from here. You know, that should have been the move. We were already armed due to the war. We should never put down our arms.
I like that.
Said, hell
yeah.
No. We're not going to let y'all ever tell us what to do again. We'll shoot it out first. That should have been the standing order.
Okay.
But that didn't happen. Somehow, the powers that be smooth talked the guns out of the hands. I don't know who was giving orders or who was thinking, but I know who wasn't thinking.
Yeah.
We didn't think that went all the way out. That should have been the beginning of Black America right then and there. The whole South should have been taken by force, by gunpoint at that point in time. That's when it should have
been all out.
That was our chance right there. We missed our golden opportunity right there. And then the 13th Amendment came in and just put the pimp game all the way down. Because who else is going to determine who the criminal is but those who are in power? Those who are in power say who's the criminal. So who do you think is going to be pointed out as the criminals? Yeah, you got 4 million potential criminals coming to get what's owed to them. Yeah, you guys are criminals. That's what they're going to say. We're the criminals.
Right.
That automatically just re-enslaved our people. And they needed labor now that their labor source was gone, so that was just an obvious play for them.
Gotcha.
We missed the opportunity, but the 13th Amendment, that was a transfer of ownership. That wasn't anything that was good for us.
Come on,
right.
Sister Famine, what'd you say to that? What's going on?
There was a small period during Reconstruction when the Northern armies were still in the South that equality was happening. Black men started voting. They were elected to different positions, even a lieutenant governor of Louisiana, of all places, was a black man at one time that they did murder. But that was a small window of opportunity that happened. But the Jim Crow law,
you said it right. Because they had an army.
Coming in, the Jim Crow laws started coming in, the acceptance of the Confederacy back into their bosom, where they were back into political power. All those people that had, just like what's happening now, that insurrection would say, these are our people, and included them back, and we were the football that got kicked out. We since the beginning of this darn country, we have been their political football when we were put in as three of a person. That's a political football right there since then.
Amen. That's right.
The reason why he thought was that he thought that we were going to be a whole person instead of three-fifths of a person. The first black man that was killed during the Tea Party is that he thought. But no, we end up being three-fifths. And that was the coin that we always are balancing on between the Democrats and the Republicans. We are their political football. Also, you have remember that after the that they advertise in the European slums, y'all come on here. We're gonna give you land. Because there were too many blacks in the system and the political system, and they had to dilute it, and they diluted it with all the Europeans that they brought over to dilute our vote. So it ain't our fault.
So they are immigrants just like everybody else. How in the hell are they? Before I get to that, let me ask Sister Maya, what's going on? I know I see her over here. I heard her up there, and I see a phone number out there. What's going on, Maya? What's happening? Tell me, what you hear tonight? I mean, you like what's going on? Or what's your opinion?
Now, I mean, I totally agree with both of you guys. You know, as far as with, you know, the 13th Amendment, you know, I don't they just flipped the game on us. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They flipped the game on us to where it looks like, hey, guess what? We're giving you guys what you've been asking for. You know, what you've been pushing for, but not really. Hold up, just a minute. If you mess up anything that we got going on, oh, you going right back in there, but we're going to call it something else now. You know, and it's still like that's still going on. You know, of course, nowadays, but, you know, I don't think people see it in that way. And for a while, I didn't see it that way until I was like, they can't pay them full prices. They can't pay them at the same rate as a full-blown citizen. You know, they can just give them, you know, 10 cents and a dollar, you know, something like that. I mean, and that costs them less to pay them than to pay us out here. So they've been flipping everything on us, even, you know, politically. They market to us, you know, oh, well, you know, we're going to come into the black community. We're going to do this. You're not going to do nothing. Guess what? You're going to wash this community out while you say that you're going to improve this community. Mm. And I'm watching that happen right now.
Amen. Me too.
I'm like, I'm watching it happen right now in front of my face, and a lot of people do not recognize that they take what we're asking for, give us part of it or disguise it into what they want also, and it's crazy to
Illusion.
See this stuff happening nowadays.
Yeah, that's right. What's
going on?
Yeah. Who was that say something? Illusion, who was that? Come on.
I was saying something on the prison complex, how before the 1970s it was just like 200,000. Now it's over 2 million, almost 3 million of the people that are in prison. And think about the wealth that is being stolen when you take a man away from his family for 20, 30, 40 years, and that man could have made anywhere from $30,000 to $40,000 a year.
Whoa.
What is that man doing without? What is that family doing without, with all of those years not earning that income? But then, hey, working for Verizon and giving shareholders, children, profit.
Let me hold y'all up. I got to take a break, y'all. I don't want to cut us off because if I don't. But look here. When we come back, I heard Brother Comrade getting ready to say something. He got in just a minute. Didn't get a chance. So y'all give me a minute. We'll be right back. This is Baba Wetafa at your radio station, People Power Radio, where your opinions, your ideas, your thoughts count. Without us, I would be nothing, and I'll be right back.
That terrifying question of what does it mean to be human, and then be willing to get out of your unique and singular skin and imagine what it's like to be in the skin of others in every corner of the globe. I am Cornel West, and this is Masterclass.
Your host tonight, your host with the most. We're going to listen to a little bit of Dale, and then we're going to get back to the topic tonight.
Well, I
13th Amendment to the United States Constitution.
You know, that's something been on my mind.
Appreciate all y'all that's here. Stay with us, because we got a lot more in store what you're coming at for.
Yeah. Well, look here. If you got a minute, let me tell you a little story about what I finally realized after the hurt and pain was gone and the tears were gone from my eyes.
Since you left, life don't mean a thing. I see the moon, I see the sunrise. Sorry is the word of a fool is what I really mean. Cause when I touch you, girl, I touch the queen, I touch the dream.
The host with the most, the tree shaker. All right, all right, all right, y'all. This is yours, truly, your host with the most. This is the tree shaker, Baba Wetafa. Right here, we're talking tonight about the 13th Amendment to the United States Constitution, and we have some very distinguished guests on the line. And brother comrade, you were saying something before you got before we left off. You were getting ready to say something. Go ahead and talk to me. What's on your mind, bro?
This is comrade Devin from Texas.
Okay, Devin. Okay, what's going on?
I was coming on what the last lady was saying. How they say these words to us and do something totally different. And
mm-hmm.
I was like, basically, they're giving us the illusion that they're doing something for. You know, they're giving us the illusion of everything, you know. That's how we all fit into the matrix when they keep on saying, matrix, matrix, matrix. It's the illusion, illusion, illusion.
Mm-hmm.
it's a word spell. You know, it's a word spell. They put on a spell through these words. It's a mind. It's a mind control mechanism. That's what I mean. Jedi mind. You know, and we're talking about the 13th Amendment. Is anyone aware of the hidden 13th Amendment? The one that's why they replaced it with this one. This piece of game they replaced it with.
Wow.
But the hidden 13th Amendment says something like there should be no lawyers and judges working for another country, you know what I'm saying, a foreign country inside of this country. And that's what they're doing because they work for the bar.
Yeah.
The bar is the British.
Yeah, yeah. That's right, the secret order.
You work for the bar and you're in, you know what I'm saying, they're foreigners in our own country. You know, they're not legal. They're not really legal.
Absolutely, I agree. I definitely agree with you.
You know, and I know everybody should know that we have we're living under two governments, you know, under their system, there's two governments. You know, you got the U.S., and then you got the USA, you know, two governments. One is the
mm-hmm.
de facto,
okay.
One of them the de facto, and one of them the original, real one, the constitutional one with the A, USA. The U.S., that's the corporation, the business.
Yeah.
The corporation, yes. And I'm going to let y'all get back. I got one song that I would like everybody to check out if they get a chance to. It's a rap song, but it's not your average rap song, and it's a revolution strong. It's a revolutionary song. It's by this guy named K. Reno from Texas. K. Reno, and it's called "The Struggle
Reno.
Made Me Great."
Oh, yeah, Struggle Made Me Great.
K-R-I-N-O. Yeah, K-R-I-N-O. It's called "The Struggle Made Me Great." And you'll love it. You'll love it.
Yeah.
It'll give you some inspiration, I guess.
Oh.
Let you know to keep doing what you're doing, the right thing.
Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Okay,
go ahead. Go ahead.
I'd like to compliment Jay-Z on what he's doing. He's using the monies that he made to form a legal entity where they're helping people get out of prison that were forgotten about.
Oh,
that's,
really?
No. That's what he's doing. Yes, he is. And they need a focus, and another focus they can get, not just individuals, but correcting that 13th Amendment to have the right spirit that will help stop all of this mass incarceration, because they're making money from it. Once they stop making money, you will see the numbers are going to go down. They're going to go down on how many people are incarcerated.
Well,
yeah.
Until we do something about the lack of independence of our people and self-determination, we're going to continue to be the scapegoat, the victim.
Ooh.
In somebody else's society. The fact that we don't have our own nation is the problem. Anything less than that, it's going to be a continued of what we've already been getting. Only a nation can protect the people. Right now, we're looked at as a community, and we have no protection because we have no army. We have no ability to protect ourselves. Like you said, the North Army left and left us vulnerable to being lynched, and that's what's been happening ever since. So until we have our own, we're going to keep continuing
how the Jewish community, how the Jewish immigrants have risen to the point of power without guns. Tell me how that happened, and what can we do to emulate
that? Their skin. They're allowed to move through the nation because of their skin tone. They're one of them. They're Caucasian.
Mm-hmm.
So their color was their complexion for protection. Now we have something totally different. We can't allow a foreign power to continue to dominate us. To do so is a violation of our human rights. That's the first thing we got to understand. So we're going to have to go and do what every other self-respecting people on the planet has done. And that's independence. Without independence, well, we'll never get anything. So,
all right,
until we're ready for independence, we won't be ready to do anything about the 13th Amendment or any other violations of our human rights being called three-fifths of a human being. How dare we submit to anybody's constitution disrespecting us like that?
I really, really feel you on that. But I also want to point out what happened to the Black Panthers who were in solitary confinement in prison all of these years, and we did not break down to get them out. We didn't break down the fences to get them out. They paid for trying to liberate us. They donated their lives. One just got out of prison and died. Solitary for all of those years. So, yeah, that is something to think about. The leaders that we did not support, that gave their all, we did not support them.
That was an example of how we missed the mark again. That was a organization for self-defense. What we needed was an organization for independence. Again, we missed the mark. We were steady trying to integrate into a society that had no love for us at all. we were making a mistake. We're trying to be in a relationship with somebody who doesn't love us. That's a mistake.
Yes.
Anytime you have somebody who doesn't love you, you need to get away from them.
Okay.
And
come
so
on.
We're going through the battered spouse syndrome.
Like, you know, like we don't get
yeah.
it. Like they're going to change. They're not going to change. The only thing that needs to change is us.
Well,
we need to change how we've been handling the situation.
Martin tried to get us away from here, and they destroyed him. He was trying to get, he even got a ship line, and he was going to buy land to get us the hell out of here.
Wow.
When you see
yeah,
the
that, didn't, that, that, wasn't,
the
that wasn't the,
was
that wasn't the formula either. That would have been
all
counterproductive
right.
to what our needs were. We need land, and we need it here. We didn't need to run anywhere. This is
all right,
our
all
actual
right,
home
y'all
land.
Got it heated, and I'll be right back. We're going to pick up when we came back. We're going to ask, I think it's Sister Queen X on there. She think I'm scared of her. She ain't saying nothing. It ain't going to work. If she's there, we're going to come back and see. All right. I'll be right back. Y'all stay with me now, y'all. I got to take these breaks. I'll be right back.
Which one of these foods is killing your testosterone? Is it A, flaxseed?
Nobody scared of you, your government. Straight up. Just like that.
And pretty girl, I just remember.
Black folks, we're going to get ours by any means necessary. Malcolm X said by the ballot or the bullet. Yeah, y'all got me fired on us, so don't blame me, y'all. Y'all the one doing it. I'm just sitting and listening to y'all. Y'all just going to take advantage of me because I can't get out there, right? Okay, but I'm fine. But, hey, thank y'all very much again. This is
Marcus Garvey. Marcus Garvey is one of my favorites. He's one of my heroes. But
Go ahead. Say what you
want to say. The Marcus Garvey movement, the empowerment of black people globally was definitely a beautiful move. But to strive to relocate everybody back to Africa when we are a global phenomenon, we're everywhere globally. We've always been everywhere globally. So the back to Africa movement was counter to our progression as a people, as a global people. So, and that was one of the weaknesses that was in the movement, that it focused on running from the problem instead of dealing with the problem where we were. And that was one of the fundamental weaknesses that we have continued today. And with the, you know, we are a global people everywhere. We were the first people on all lands. We're the original man globally. So
right.
Africa is definitely the first genesis of humanity, no doubt. And there's more resources in Africa than anywhere, no doubt. But the work that our people have put in globally for generations, for thousands of years, for millennia, can't be forgotten and abandoned just, you know, because we've run into some hard times with some Caucasians. So we need to regroup and rethink.
Dealing with same people, that is the most sane thing. But we're dealing with insane people. Emmett Till's memorial sign keeps getting shot down. Black Wall Street was the very first time that the U.S. was bombed by U.S. Philadelphia, they bombed the black community.
The MOVE, that's right, MOVE organization.
In back in biblical times, the Hebrews had been in Egypt for hundreds of years. Over 3 million of them, hightail it out there. I'm sure some stayed. Not everybody left, but they realized if they wanted to control their own thing, they had to have their own thing. They could not build part of Egypt. They could not get out of part of Egypt, even though they had been there for hundreds of years, because those people were going to make sure whatever they succeeded at was going to be destroyed. And you know these people here, they will destroy whatever. They even have the image.
They're destroying everything outside of the United States right now. That's why everybody's running to the United States.
Sister Queen X, are you there? Sister Queen X, are you there? Is that... Hello?
This is Sister Tamiko. This is Sister Tamiko. Comrade Tamiko.
Okay, Sister Tamiko, come on. Talk to me. What's going on?
Peace and love, peace, love, and power, everyone.
Yes, amen.
Thank you for allowing us to have this platform today to speak and to come up with solutions to the problems that we have always faced. And let's just get to the core of what our weaknesses are. You know, we know our story and we know their story, their history. So let's identify our weaknesses and build on our strength and to assert self-determination. Let's just start right there. Let's cut this meat and get to the bone.
Cut the meat, get to the bone. I like that. Okay. So what are your suggestions? That, I mean, talk to me now. This is y'all show. I mean, what's the suggestion?
Okay. So we know.
Right or wrong?
We know that self-determination is out there. We know we have that option. However, we have the challenges that we face in today's society that keep our people from uniting, that keeps our people in the mass formation psychosis. So how do we get our people out of the mass formation psychosis of all the tools and tactics that they use to distract us, the continuous police brutality of killing our people? That's one of the ways that they use the mass formation psychosis.
Mm-hmm.
The COVID pandemic, that's another way that they use the mass formation psychosis. Our mental health in itself, that's a way that they do it. The poverty, that's another way. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So, and our homelessness. And our homelessness.
Definitely.
And then the culture of music. Okay, let's not leave that out. The culture of music and how they control the industry and what our youth is listening to today. And then the TV and the social media. So we kind of got somewhat of the social media on lock. So how do we connect to the youth? So how do we reach the youth? And how do we get our people to remember what is in us that we have forgotten? And, you know, some of these people, they refuse to listen to. They believe what their enemy tells them quicker than someone who loves them that is fighting for them.
Mm-hmm.
So we start with those of the like minds first. Connect with those first so we can reach the others across the boards or across the neighborhood or across the parkway, down the street, same block or wherever. There's people living on all of our different blocks in our neighborhoods and communities, and they all, not they all, most of them are so comfortable with what our oppressor has given them that they don't have a clue that they are enslaved peoples and indentured servitude because they still paying taxes.
Mm-hmm.
They still paying for utilities.
Uh-huh.
And they're being taxed on top of being taxed on top of being taxed. And they have to work so hard to provide for their families and future generations. So let's go back to, like
about
I said, what our
Pam.
Weaknesses is and how we deal
with
that.
Sister.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness,
we
man. I tell you, what, y'all got a lightning rod tonight.
We are still in a Holocaust, and that's what the sister is. We are still in a Holocaust, and we don't even realize that we are in a Holocaust. We are in, and that's what we have to get ourselves out of, and it's going to take some time. My whole generation was sacrificed to integrating with theirs, our 15% integrating with them, thinking that we were going to get served at the table. What we end up doing is giving up our insurance industry. We gave up our banking industry. We gave up our hotels. We gave up our buses, transportation. We gave them up to integrate, and now we're realizing we don't have nothing to start a nation with. We're all entangled in their mess with nothing to sponsor our businesses. But then Tyler Perry came, and he showed us that we got the power. We just have to utilize the power because nobody likes his plays but us. And now look at him. He's a billionaire based on us.
He's on Tyler Perry, and he did something very significant, you know, that not a lot of our people have done. However, they have taken Tyler Perry's wealth and turned it into something that he will not transfer to his people in a significant way where it's going to make a difference.
They
use that man during this pandemic time to shut him up. So he ain't going to do that much more when he promotes that vaccine. I'm going to tell you that now. Let somebody with that influence say that again.
He's educating a lot of filmmakers, actresses, lighting people, a whole generation of people.
That's their industry. What is he educating them on? That's their industry right now. He's not putting his money where his mouth is, where his people are concerned and where it's most needed. And it's not most needed right now in that industry, not with the stuff that is coming out. What's coming out that's going to change the minds of our people that they making films and producing on? Nothing.
I'm not hearing anything from, and that's my thing with Tyler Perry. It's great that he's succeeding. It's great that he has his own studio. But the biggest thing is what you're doing actually benefiting the black community? Not just because you're funny, not because we're promoting promoting his shows, but is what he is doing actually promoting us and our growth and our separation and our elevation in the black community.
Mm.
I don't see it. I don't see it. I have
Thank
not
you, sister.
Seen it.
Forgive me
and
for coming out strong about the brother.
I'm like,
you know,
I'm like, and if I don't see that coming from him, I don't see him making moves for us. He's making moves to for his
I agree. I don't see it at all. I don't see it. Not
Please tell me what you want. What you want from him? What do you want from him? Every time we talk about
like every black, just like every black leader, just like every black leader.
Hey, come on, let him talk. Let him finish. Come on, y'all. Let him finish. Y'all got plenty of time. Come on, Maya. Come on.
Yeah, just like any black leader that puts themselves in a higher position than what we are subject to as the general population as far as black people. Once I'm just using somebody random an example. Someone reaches a level of power, a politician, a international barber, whatever it may be. If you say you love the people and you do this for the black people or the black community, I need to see you turn around and give back. And every single black leader that has turned around and gotten into a higher position that, you know, and says they love the people and really love the people, they turn back around and help their community. They don't turn back around and we can actually look at them and look at their actions and their moves and see that, hey, they took this money and put it back into their community. They did this, which benefited this. They did this, put it back into the education of our black youth and pulled them into the knowledge of themselves and of our history, of our ancestors. But I don't see him doing that.
All right, we're going to get Sister Pam out. They're not allowed to do that. Go right now, but I'll be right back, y'all. We're going to give an opportunity to speak to it. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Dental, we do anything to make you smile. Get the best deal of the season when you upgrade your dentures with custom-crafted options starting at $299 per arch. It's dentistry made for your life. Book today at AspenDental.com or call 1-800-ASPEN-DENTAL.
Out of these three, do you know who has the best rates? Just use autoinsurance.com to find out in just 90 seconds.
Teddy Pendergrass. Y'all got me really, really excited tonight. We have a very, very exciting topic tonight. We're just beginning, y'all, but we're going to have a lot more from where this is coming from.
Little things I do, oh, you're the one.
right. Now, before we left, Sister Mayat was saying something about Tyler Perry. And, again, we want to give the opportunity back to the Sister Pam Sam. I think you were asking what did you want him to do for us or something. You got the floor. Go, tell me what's on your mind, Sister Pam.
Yeah, what do we want to see him doing? He is employing black actors and actresses that the white community has abandoned. He is creating writers and directors and content. He is creating that we did not have when we put it on certain people to give back when we have lost the capacity to give back ourselves. I am part of the integrated community. I remember a time when there were in every black home there was an Ebony and Jet magazine where we could communicate with each other, and we learned what our community was doing and putting back. We don't have that anymore where we learn what even what Jay-Z's doing. We didn't know that. We had to hear it from their media because we have integrated our 15% of 100% into them, and we need to unintegrate ourselves from them and find an insurance company. There's an investment company app that I downloaded where these people are committed to invest into black companies because we all have to save up for our retirement when we're not going to work, and we're saving up into AT&T, Verizon, all of these
all right.
people.
Can I answer that? Can I respond to that, please? Can I respond to that?
Putting our savings into, huh?
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, go ahead. He wanted to respond to it right quick. Then y'all want to get back on the 13th Amendment. But go ahead. I had to get on to this.
Our black leaders, we want excellence. We want black excellence. What Tyler Perry has done has caused much harm and damage to our grandmothers, to black grandmotherhood. He has taken something that was sacred and trivialized it. He made it a joke, a bad one at that. And then him as a black man put on a dress is totally disrespectful, unacceptable. That type of behavior is stuff we don't need our children participating in. And those type of writers, people who keep writing stuff like that, is part of the problem of what's going on in the black community right now.
We're getting off the topic. Let's go back.
No. The topic was what we expect out of people, our people. We're talking about the people and what we need. That's not
can
right.
Can I come in?
When we talk about, can I finish my statement? Can I finish my statement?
Yeah, just a second. Go ahead, finish the statement, then you can talk about it.
Tyler Perry has been promoting this jab, these vaccines. So he's not for us. He's been promoting effeminate men. That's not what our community needs. We don't need no more of that. We need men to be men and be independent and strong men and protect our women, not make a joke about grandmotherhood. So that's definitely not what we need.
All right. Come on, brother. From Texas? Is that you, brother?
This comrade,
brother Devin. Comrade Devin?
Yes,
yeah, come
sir.
On.
From Texas. Yeah, Tyler Perry, he did a lot of wonderful things and all that. That's still all these entertainers, everybody, businesses, whatever you want to call it, they still under the white man's government, under his money system, under his control. Still not independent. You know, we're still not independent. No matter what they're doing, it's not contributing nothing to our independence. So all of that stuff is useless.
Okay. All right. I mean, like I said, go ahead, Sister Pam. Go ahead. Come on, y'all. Who's that 469 number? Who 469 is that? 469, 4630? I guess they're just listening in. All right. Thank you, Rachel. Well, hey, thank you for tuning in with us and Brother Henry. Bobby. Go ahead on, Sister Sam. Excuse me, somebody else was going to say something. Go ahead. Y'all got the floor.
Right.
I mean, it's open.
Yeah, I was just thinking about the younger generation and how information is not brought on. Like, if you ask anyone under the age of 50, who was Adam Clayton Powell and how important he was to our community, you'd be scared that they don't even have an idea of what that man did for as a
in
people.
Right.
So that pointing fingers and everything, let's just go back. Let's get that 13th Amendment corrected and to where it is they can't make money off of our men in prison.
That's
and so the number of prisoners will go down. So let's just get some basic things, some foundations done on that. I do like the men that have started an investment app. Those are some basic insurance. If somebody had an insurance company where I knew it was black owned and operated, I would have my insurance within my car insurance. Damn it, we don't even have a car insurance company.
You know what?
Where we can invest in what?
You know what, Sister Pam? I'm glad you mentioned that. Now in Greenwood District, they started a banking system. A black group did. And that's good to, in a way, of bringing Black Wall Street back up to its preliminary greatness before the riot that was supported by the United States government and deputizing white supremacists who had a field day. You know, so these brothers and sisters today, they are there. At least they, to that degree, are trying to get back their own financing companies. And they have one also now. They're trying to create a new theater once again. In other words, basically, like what all y'all talking about today with respect to, you know, who's doing what, who's not doing what. I mean, all that's great conversation and all, but at the same time, what we need to do is have an independent source of our own, like you said, our own newspaper companies, our own banking, our own communities, our own laundromats, our own airport systems, our own newspaper. And like you said, even with Jet Magazine, for a while, the white man saw this. That's why they bought them off and under. They bought, and then they brought, what was that one, BET. You see how they do it? Because they saw the success of what he was having. So the white man took it over, and that's what I'm trying to tell y'all. Y'all, it's too many of us giving our stuff away to these white folks for the purpose of M-O-N-E-Y. When at the same time, they could have still built up on an empire without the white man's interference. Come on.
Okay, it's more than just M-O-N-E-Y. It's because of us being 15% and them being 85%. Let me give you a case in point. Carol's daughter.
Independent.
Product that she had, and she developed and grew it, black product. But let me, and she ended up having to sell to, like, Revlon or something. Let me tell you the game that's played. Oprah ran across that game, too. The game of distribution. For her to get into all of those locations, they would keep on meeting them. I've worked in the retail industry, and I can tell you right now, the big boys will keep you off the shelves. You have to spend, you have to have a lot of money, so banks behind you to even put products in all the locations. And then you got to fight with them for shelf space. So they have to sell in order to even make it, or they're going to be squeezed out and destroyed. So what happened to the black hair care product with the, they had the symbol of the black woman with it destroyed, absolutely destroyed.
That's what I'm saying. We got to stop letting
them. They destroy. Either you sell or you get destroyed when you are only 15%. We got to find a way around them. And it's very hard because they have infiltrated even the banking industry. When I called to find out about the Black Banking Association, it's a whole bunch of Asians in the Black Banking Association. They're black banks that actually the government put like $10 million in, and the bank had to give it back because they couldn't lend it to nobody because of the credit requirements. So it's enough to make you want to cry.
Function
in this system that we are in, it makes you want to cry because you keep running to
It definitely, makes you want to cry, and at the same time, but we have to pick up our pieces and carry our cross just like Jesus did to Calvary. Now, when I say Calvary, what I mean is that when you take a talk about the symbolic meaning here, what Jesus did, but watch this here. According to Scripture, he couldn't take his cross all the way to where his crucifixion was going. So he had his brother Simon to come and help him. So what I'm trying to say to y'all is that we ourselves need one another to propel ourselves, push us forward into that new millennium to justify our own independence from the slave master, because y'all have to realize even before the 13th Amendment came about, we were not given actual recognition of anything other than the fact that when the land was given, during the land rush of 1889, everybody, all immigrants was given theirs, but hell, we were given nothing. So by the time when we were set free, 4 million of us, hell, we had to run in and ask Bob, is it all right to cross the street? I mean, because he charged us to cross the street. And then we crossed the street without permission, we went to jail. So again, our 13th Amendment was all tied into it to make sure that we as African Americans here in the Western Hemisphere had no constitutional connection or mannerisms or right to anything. As a matter of fact, you couldn't even look a white woman in the eye without going to jail. Okay, now think about it. And then, but they use that the same manipulation to restrain us of our independence and our strength and our mobility by confining us and arresting us. And guess what? If you had a job and you couldn't prove you had one, you went to prison. Why? Because you weren't supposed to be out of the house at a certain time of night. You couldn't even walk down the street if your shoes wasn't tied right. You had to show from one hour to the next while you out. And that's where you have what you call the slave patrols. They only call them police now. Okay, y'all? So when we look at all this, they gave them the legalization to disrupt us through the denomination, the discrimination, Jim Crow laws, racism, so forth and so on. And guess what? Now, listen to this. I'm going to let y'all have the floor. Listen to this. You all even had the southern states' governments who sanctioned the behavior of legislators and told them that they can actually be themselves judges to discriminate. Legislators can discriminate. Businesses can discriminate against you as African Americans. So think about that now.
Mm-hmm.
So think about that. That's what I'm trying to tell y'all. So it's going to be hard for us to come up under that wicked programming that we are less than anything. They fed it into our minds, y'all, that we were nothing less than chattel slavery, that we were inhuman, that we were three-fifths. Look at what they said of that. The only reason they call us three-fifths because they knew that three, counting you a full person, you would have overlapped the voting power structure here in the United States. Okay? So you were considered three-fifths no matter how many of y'all. You could have been 15 of you. But you considered three-fifths because those 15, if they were all considered full human, look at how much we've been in, 4 million of us in the United States. That's what Master feared. Y'all, so let me tell y'all one thing. I'm going to get back here. I'm going to get the floor open to y'all for 1 minute. Then we're going to come right back. I got to take a station break. I appreciate all of y'all. This is People Power Radio. Hey, stay tuned because we'll be right back.
Value on a great night's sleep is right here at the Mathis Outlet. Shop closeout prices on all the best brands in bedding like Sealy and Serta with queen mattresses starting at...
This is your home. This is your family room / gym. The guest bedroom / music studio.
wrap it up when we get back. What we're going to do, we're going to go around the horn, give everybody about a minute or two to talk about what they thought of tonight's show. And then I'll be the last one to end us out. Hey, I appreciate y'all, man. This is y'all's show. Without y'all, I would be nobody. Y'all don't hear me. See you showing up. All right, everybody, this is People Power Radio. It's your guy, the host with the most, Brother Michael Baba Witafa, Father of Many Nations, right here on People Power Radio. We've had a great show tonight in dealing with the 13th Amendment, as well as a number of other interesting topics. And I'll tell you tonight, it was very, very warm, very united, very unique, and it's very knowledgeable. So I thank everyone for giving us an opportunity tonight to be with us. And again, Brother Henry, Brother Jocelyn, and Jocelyn, or whatever, how you pronounce it. I'm sorry, brother, so forgive me. And we have Darlene, Denise. Oh, man, so many of y'all. Thank y'all very much. All 50 states are listening in to us. Again, y'all, we've developed greatly since we've been on the show for 3 months. But, again, like I said, I still got a little rough edges to work out. But, again, once I learn all of that, I'll be doing that. Mostly my ideas, I'm really a certified paralegal, so I usually keep the paperwork pencils pushing. But, anyhow, we got about 10 minutes, everybody, so I'm going to get everybody, and Sister Pam, we're going to let you be the last one to speak because, again, you're the actual co-host tonight, so we're going to let just start from the top here. Let's go to Brother, I'm going to go down your line as I got it hooked up here. Let's go to Brother Bomani. Go ahead, Brother. Take a minute, Brother, because that's all I got, though. Talk to me. Let me let everybody say what they need to say.
Well, yeah, I'm still for the independent school of thought. Integration was a bad idea, and the fact that we haven't stood up and demanded our manhood be respected by us governing ourselves is a continuous blight on our people, and that won't be taken care of until we man up and stand up and demand our people have our own everything.
Okay, great. All right. Gotcha. Hey, sound like a winner to me, brother. All right, come on, Sister Maya. Talk to me.
Oh, of course, I'm going to always come from the education perspective, and also, you know, that portion of it is what's going to draw the youth to the conversations that we have on this line. If they don't know what is going on, what past and present, they cannot connect with what's going on currently, you know, what our plans are to get us out of the situations, because once we're gone, we are the ancestors. We are the ones that they look to in the stories, you know, the stories and the struggles, the things that we go through just to get to the starting point of rebuilding what we have, like she was saying, as far as we've given up our businesses, we've given up these certain things for integration. If we're pushing towards separation, we got to teach them where we went wrong or where we could have done, where we could have made better decisions or could have saw the enemy's plan beforehand. So, you know, education, education, education. Once we get back to the youth.
I'm sorry. All right, come on, Sister Miko. Ashe, all right.
Okay, Ashe, I'm a rock on that. I am in total agreement with Brother Bomani, Emperor Bomani, excuse me, and Sister Maya. I'm in total agreement in what they said and how they said it. Also, I would like to add, along with the education and going independent, what will it take us to get there? To identify our strengths and weaknesses, and one of our weaknesses in most revolutionary movements where we only maintain independence for a short period of time or it failed in its track, it was the military force. So that was a weakness then, and it's a weakness now. So we can start there. And we can start there by identifying those of like mind and those in the military or not former military and connecting with them and seeing where their train of thought is, what their school of thought is, as the society is today. And then also...
Okay, I'm sorry. I got to get ready to cut you off. I'm sorry. But don't... Now, after this, which y'all, we still got about 15 minutes after I'm off the air, so y'all still can bring all this back up. But I'm just going to let you get your parting shots where you're back in here. All right, Brother Devin, okay. What's up? Talk to me. Brother Devin, you still there? If not, come on, Sister Pam. Sam, you've got a minute and about 43 seconds, and then, like I said, we still can talk. Just that they're going to cut me off. So I'm just trying to let you know. But go ahead.
Right. I appreciate it. Well, all of the brothers and sisters on this call, and I thoroughly agree with you all. It's like we're different pieces of a puzzle that needs to get together and make something happen. I presently am with the African Holocaust Museum, and I am working with some Nigerian industrialists that want over there. And he is starting a school, an educational school, and bringing black Americans over to Africa. And his goal is to start a nation. So I'm working with people that are wanting to do things. So it's a 100-year plan, but that's how it has to be. And thank you so much.
Yeah, I mean,
giving me this format. I enjoy talking to you. Okay.
Yeah, say what now? What'd you say, Pam?
Oh, I thank you for the format because I enjoy talking.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Don't hang up just yet, y'all. Because like I said, we got about 15 minutes after there. That y'all usually I'm getting ready to put y'all in my back room. And so in other words, just like I say, I'm off there, but we still have a little. We usually kick in when we get over with and add a little stuff that we didn't have time to where we have a little bit of time to talk about in our back room. All right, y'all. Again, I'm Michael Washington.
One comment.
Come on, brother. I try to give you the floor. Come on.
One comment.
Yeah. Come on.
Okay. One comment. All we need to do is gain our independence. It will open up all the rest of the doors, point blank.
Okay. All right. Hey, you know what? We'll be talking about that in a few minutes. Let's just see. All right, y'all, I got to get ready to get off the air. We got about a minute and 20 seconds here. I'll try to save a little bit of time so I can let everybody know who I am, what I do in Oklahoma City, and what my plans are for the future as here in the Western Hemisphere for blacks who feel like they still enslaved and in bondage, which we certainly are, because why? We do not run the education system. We do not run the political systems. We do not run the financial system. We only run what they allow us to run, and that is with what our money would buy us. So in other words, if you got a bag of cookies called 75 cents and you got 60 cents, you're going to be lost in the sauce. Why? Because they want that 75 cents so you don't get it at all. So again, y'all, we have to change that outfit and that dynamics because our communities are being decimated with crime, corruption, drugs, filth, poverty, so forth and so on. That is where my mindset is. And I believe, like I said, once we get through here tonight, and as everyone, all you guests has been so beautiful tonight. I mean, oh, my God, y'all had me so fired up. I mean, I didn't even want to take a station break, but they told my head to us they're going to take it from me. So that's the only reason I was taking them. But anyhow, y'all, I mean, I just appreciate y'all giving me an opportunity to stay with y'all tonight. And, again, I'm from Oklahoma City, certified paralegal. I'm also a motivational speaker. I am also hopefully to become a writer here pretty soon. I'm writing a book about the mass incarceration here in the state of Oklahoma, as well as how it's expanded on a united level. So, again, thank y'all very much for getting ready to cut us off. But for those of you going to my back room, please hang around for a minute, as we always do, and we can continue where we are. Be blessed, everyone, and thank y'all for listening in. This is your guy from Oklahoma City, Michael Tree Shaker Washington. Bye. See you. Be blessed. May God bless and keep you. May He allow His face to shine upon you and give you peace. Now, that's what I wanted to say. All right, so anybody got the back floor in the back door, go ahead and talk with me. Hey, I mean, y'all got a few minutes here, just talk to me. Hey, let's go any level. I mean, now it's your turn, you know what I mean? So we don't have to worry about an audience here. We just worry about what we think about it.
I would like to do a show on credit, how during our generation, this horrible thing, credit bureaus are private companies, but they have been allowed to let the system rob us of our wealth and how we need to do something about it. There's no reason why I buy a car for $25,000, you buy a car for $25,000, and you pay $50,000, and I pay $27,000 for it. No, we need to stop it. Just stop it.
Disparage.
Okay. Yes, it's robbing black people of their wealth. I'd like to have a talk on that.
Okay, like I said, this coming up, this coming Saturday, maybe we'll talk about it probably. Okay, I'm writing a note of it. Okay, now, so y'all, what I'm trying to tell y'all, it's important that we sit back and have an economic platform of our own to rival that of our enemies. The enemy is not going to take notice of us right now because they see we have no unity. You know, we have no independence. We have no land, number one. I mean, I don't know anybody that can survive or subside on their own without land. I mean, because without land, you wouldn't have a car to park in your driveway. Without land, you wouldn't be able to plant your peas, your cotton, your corn, and watermelons or whatever the case is. And as a matter of fact, the streets that you're driving on, which don't belong to you anyway, belongs to the state. And just think, if they say, hold up, anybody that rides down this way, you're going to be arrested or whatever. See, so they still have the ultimate power, y'all. So I'm saying to y'all just a minute, brother. I'm speaking right now. We can still have an opportunity to say what we need to do here, y'all, is make this situation a reality on our own. We have to have a democracy, a democratic society, not democratic per se by the white man because that's demonic, but we have to have a unified system of our own to rival that of our slave master. Go ahead now. What'd you say?
It was on the independence tip, though. It's
come on, I don't care what it's on. That's what the name's for. Right now, it's your time.
Yeah, and I don't know if I said it already that the celebrities, like they said, the celebrities and the entertainers and all them, they're not allowed to. Do nothing, you know, to elevate, you know, and our people's own interest, you know, to do nothing in our own interest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not
mm-hmm.
allowed to do that, you know, through their money system, you know, called the Jews. You know, the Jews control, you know, the industry,
Hollywood,
you
definitely,
know,
yes,
on top of everything. So, yeah, so that's one thing. And then, you know, like I was thinking to get inside the heads of the youth, independence. It must sound cool or hip to achieve this, so we got to make it sound challenging or sound, you know, we got to make it sound
mm-hmm.
like that's the thing
mm-hmm.
to do, which it is the
mm-hmm.
thing to do. So,
oh,
but we
got
to educate them,
yeah,
we got to teach them the past and then teach them the future.
Hey, amen. Hey, you know what? Y'all know my favorite song, I Believe the Children Are Future by Whitney Houston. I've always played that, so y'all let you know what my mindset is. Our children are our future leaders, our doctors, our mathematicians, our engineers, and we need to keep our focus on them. Give them a better lifestyle than what we have ourselves gone, you know, because, again, unity. If we don't have unity in our community, this same old cycle is going to continue to rotate. Go ahead. Somebody, who was that? Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I meant to say that we're like too much under their mercy, you know, like we're too much under their mercy. You know, we're too vulnerable up under them, up under the system, so we have to get that foot off our neck. We got to get that burden off us. We got to get that weight up off of us, off our shoulder. We got
to
quit competing with them in their own system. It's already rigged for them. It's already made that way, whether you understand it or not, or whether you perceive it or not. They just showing you the illusion of what you want to see.
Amen, brother.
So we
got to
get Unplug from their system. Unplug from their system.
Amen.
Go independent and call your own shot. Call your own shot.
Well, no, that's right.
Okay,
but just
you.
Like the system was just, excuse me, go ahead. Go on. I'm sorry, go ahead. Yeah, just like the sister was saying a while ago.
Got to go independent.
From Africa. Yeah. And I believe one good shot is working with our brothers and sisters. When you don't have a connected cohesion with the motherland, which is the land of all land, the land of milk and honey, let's just keep it real, like that, paradise, okay? When you don't have a connection, why you think them white folks and European, now the Asians are the new imperialists now. The Asians, the Chinese got all, damn, they own all Africa. Them black folks don't want nothing over there no more. You hear me? Maybe a speck. So what this sister's talking about doing, as well as others, I agree here, is that if we don't have a direct connection to our Tibo land, the land of the dark-skinned people, and in turn with our brothers and sisters here in the Western Hemisphere, then we're going to be lost in the sauce because they have the definite resources that we need in Africa that we can use here in America, and at the same time let our brothers and sisters educate us to bring that knowledge back to the Western Hemisphere of America, and in turn we become the scientists, the lawyers, and the doctors where the discrimination and things are not allowing us to be here in the United States. You know what I'm saying? And we can go over there and maybe buy farmlands or whatever. You know, I'm not saying exclusively to forget where I came from. Like, I'm not damn sure I'm not going to forget Oklahoma or United States because them some bitches owe me. Excuse my expression. And I need mine. I'm going to get mine. But the point of the matter is I don't just want to exclusively have my focus here when I can go back to the land where 85% of the world is being fed every day, where 90% of the gold mines are being robbed and pillaged by the British and Romans and people of that nature and taking it back to their European countries, where the same people who recognize you and me in their basement, even the St. Petersburg Church of Rome, the Black Madonna and Child, and people already know that we are their fathers, their forefathers and all. You see? So, yes, I mean, we need to keep this focus going, y'all, because we can make it happen. It's just now we have to stop talking and let's be about it now.
Awesome.
Which definitely brings us to the business.
Come on.
How do we get to make it happen? What is the steps that we need to take to make that a reality?
Okay.
I mean,
now,
we can't.
Go ahead. Come on.
Oh, my. Oh, we can't.
Go ahead.
Know, like I said, we can't lead anybody that doesn't know where we're going, that doesn't know the past and the present of where we're going. That's the biggest key. You know, I'm a part of a militant organization, so, yeah, that is very, very important. But even in my personal studies, I can't go anywhere without knowing where my ancestors came from, the struggles that they've been through, and what they strive to do, even if it was integration. But at the same time, some of our great leaders understood where we needed to go also with separation, how separation was the answer. You know what I mean? So that's the biggest thing. We have to educate our people, the youth, even, I'm middle-aged, almost close middle-aged right now. You know, I'm in between a gap. But even my generation, needs to know the importance of where we're going because we are the new parents of these youth that are coming up. So, that's the first thing we need to do over anything else is the educational portion of it, and then they will be able to
that's
see
important.
Where we're going, and we can lead in the right direction. Then we can put in action those other steps that take us to our destination of where we're going.
Definitely. You keep harping on that education thing. That's really kept me. I think we should do something on that next Thursday.
Shay, education is crucial.
That's very highly, you keep saying it like it's not by accident. I'm a person I listen in, because if you don't educate yourself, see, knowledge is nothing without power. In other words, knowledge is nothing without information. So I can know, like, say, this is an example. If I keep bumping my head into this wall, I'm going to get a knot on it, okay? But now I don't know the science behind it. I mean, the infrastructure of why, your palm or your head may hurt by bumping. You see what I'm getting at? So it's a good thing to know, but I can't change anything if I don't have the dynamics and know the nature of a thing that changes. So, yeah, I'm going to put that down for next Thursday. We're going to – yeah, go ahead. I want to go ahead.
Yes,
I make
will
that
be
more
certainly excited for the next one on education because, like the sister
said,
it's crippled, and I'm in agreement. So that leads me to the question is, how do we reach and educate the youth with the challenges that we face today because we're not able to educate them in the school system? We don't have the active school programs even anymore. So how are we going to reach these youth and educate them? At the same time, when we educate them, being creative so it's appealing to them.
Can I comment on that one really quick?
Yes.
Go ahead. I saw you. I'm listening.
Now, they're using this pandemic against us. Now, as we've seen in history, they flip things into their, you know, into their hands. With us having to be forced now to, you know, homeschool due to rising numbers of COVID, those are opportunities that we could take in our hands of teaching them what they need to know, not what they want them to know in the school, in school. You know what I mean? They teach them their history and a smidget of our history, and we can really take that time that we homeschool. Yeah, they can learn what they have, you know, going on, but we're going to cap on that and teach them what they need to know and what direction that we need to go in. And that is a challenge to the parents, to the grandparents, I mean, to take advantage of that time that we have them in back in our homes, you know, back into these after-school programs or these things that happen. Even those after-school programs, when they do go back into school and so-called get COVID under control, which we know that's not going to happen. But these after-school programs, you know, or, you know, black-owned daycares where we can teach these curriculums and these things to our youth, we have opportunities. We just going to have to make them. And we're going to have to make them happen now.
Absolutely. Indeed. Well, like the sister was saying, we need to be taking advantage of these homeschooling opportunities and this online resource that is the only crumb that they've given us, you know, to utilize to educate our youth, you know, when we have the time to allow it. So what are some other ways where we can make that remembering education process appealing to the youth at the same time? What are some other ways that we can reach them outside of the homeschooling as well? Say, for instance, where are they socializing at nowadays? I thought about maybe the basketball game.
Tournaments, basketball, football tournaments.
They got online now who play video games. Video games is like the number one thing. They're going to be sitting down and they're going to be in front of that TV. So
yeah, we actually have. Go ahead. Sorry.
I'm listening.
Oh, we have some black owned comics that are actually coming out that are based on Egyptian themes that kind of teach that teach the youth while they're still engaging in playing video games or comics or anything like that. So there's small numbers, but we can increase that by just promotion, you know, by promoting that and putting them in front of them and investing in them.
Exactly. We're going to have more companies promoting or providing such platforms and services. So the entertainment industry, though, is huge. It's one of the growing markets among the youth, and that's something we need to be targeting. We need to be developing games for our youth to
that's part of
to play in for tournaments in those games. Like you were saying, for the basketball, you know, sports are very important as well, definitely. But as you see, this generation has become less sports oriented. They barely go outside. You know, they're always looking at their phone.
Well,
so we got to go where they're at.
Not,
they're on the phones. That's where they're at.
You're definitely right about the games and all. But see, my thing too, what I do already here in Oklahoma, again with my Empower People Incorporated, we have talent shows. You know, what youth is not worried about one how good they rap or how good they sing or dance or what have you. Okay, so that's part of definitely what I do already. That's part, and we're getting more people. I guess Sister Mayan can back that up. We already have youngsters performing for us and different stuff of that nature. So, again, it gives me an opportunity to teach them doing Kwanzaa. It gives me Black History Month, which I'm going to do next month. You know, so what y'all talking about, I usually have what you call youth-targeted programs. So when I give something, I say on the 5th, they're coming this 5th, I'll say, okay, hey, talent show, win $50 for second place, first place, or whatever, blah, blah, blah. Now, how many of them children are not going to come in and try to get $20, $30 and go buy cookies or candy or whatever they didn't? You know, I'm just saying. The point is to get them there, and then they give me an opportunity to teach what I want to teach. Okay, before we even go toward why you here, for your talent, you're going to listen to my talent first. See?
Mm-hmm.
So this would give them an opportunity to challenge one another to be better than what they may come in. Hopefully when they leave, they're going to definitely be more educated because I can't force them to do anything, but I guarantee you, conversation rules the nation. When them kids come out and see about how great and how esteemed and illustrious their great pyramids and great value systems were and democracies and senates and bombing the dead and having cultures and things coming to be first, last be first, those things like that will encourage a person to know, hey, you know what, man, my people were really great. I didn't know we something, you know, some people were telling me different. These are the things, y'all, how we must propel our youth into believing in their independence, believing in their Godship. They must understand, first of all, that just like the Bible says in Hosea 4 and 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Also realize Psalms 82 and 6 said, I said, ye are all gods. They need to know that they are God, that you don't have to accept these things that are going on.
I'm in wow.
See? You see? That's what they need to know. That's what we're missing, y'all. That's why I teach these youngsters. I tell you what, some of my youth, next time, as a matter of fact, when we do the education, I'm going to probably have a couple more on the line and let y'all hear what these youngsters be talking about. And they do not play. You hear me? They know about their ancestors. They know about where they came from. They know about Imhotep, the first. Now, let me tell y'all, the first Jesus recognized Imhotep was a great scientist, mathematician, and engineer. He was the first Christ, Christos, meaning anointed one. Okay, y'all? So they need to know that. Don't give me the European Jesus with the long hair and the stringy-eyed blue eyes and all that. Man, I'm not going for that crap no more. I used to because I didn't know any better. But now I know. See? So those are the, what my mindset is. And, again, I got my youth choir. You know, youth, they sing their own little African songs and things. I mean, next time, like I said, hopefully in February I'll be able to put it on the Internet where people can see what we're doing with them. You know, they'll come out. I mean, they're enlightened. Well, thank y'all very much, man, for giving me an opportunity to speak tonight. But, again, we're going to do something again on education. It's coming, Saturday or Thursday? Which one is it? Let's see.
I believe Thursday?
Yeah, Thursday. Okay, yeah. Saturday? Let me write that down. Thursday. Me. Okay, so, yeah, education. Okay, y'all, targeting our youth for education. That's just a preliminary thought. I'll probably change a little bit.
And I wanted to for Saturday, bring a guest. He has a blueprint for how we can go at the system that has been abusing our people and how we can use the system against the system. I think that would
be talking in American system. Okay, talking in American
system. How to use the system against
political system.
The system.
Okay, I got you. I'm just writing it down. Keep talking. Talking an American political system. All right, got you. So I'll make that Saturday. And then Thursday, we do the education for you and target American political system on Saturday. Oh, yeah. See, we keep rotation like this going, y'all. And, I mean, getting more people involved because, like I said, we got people here that's never before even said, man, y'all doing this here. Where have y'all been all our lives? shit, we looking for somebody where we know that y'all not going to hold y'all punches. And they seen now that we keeping the pedal to the metal, you know. And so, Pam, you got now, what about the Holocaust Museum? What are you talking about on that? Are you still on? She may have hung up. But anyhow, yeah, y'all, I mean, I got about 5 minutes, y'all, before they getting ready to cut me off here. Like I said, I've talked them into giving me a little more time, so. We'll get it together though. So, Sister Tamiko, tell me about it. What's going on? I mean, where's everybody at? Everybody all right tonight? Man, I enjoyed. I appreciate y'all. Y'all definitely gave me an opportunity to spark a little bit more on things that I was trying to do tonight. I definitely feel good.
Well, I've been inspired, by the way. Thank you for allowing me. I'm inspired to reach the youth in my current community or wherever I go to reach the youth and educate them and find creative ways to do that, whether it be the video gaming, some educational conscious hip-hop, whatever it may take, whatever it may be. I know there's a young lady that is close to me. She was raised up around my daughter's little sister, and she is completing college, her last semester next month. Her last semester. And I asked her what was her major, and she said social work. So she's definitely a young lady that I want to, I don't want to say capitalize, but I want to nurture, you know, her work and, you know, to our betterment. And before the system gets a hold of her and nurtures her in their way. So things like that, you know, reaching those youth and everything. She's been working hard and everything, keeping her focused and everything, stuff like that. So we have those type of youth that we need to connect with. And then we have the youth that don't have the focus, like a young man, my daughter's younger brother, I should say. He's in prison. The authorities coerced a confession out of him, and he's got 10 years. So that's another area of youth or age group that we need to reach. So they're on different spectrums. The ones that were college-bound or professional-orientated, and then the street life ones. We have to be able to reach both group dynamics of youth.
Okay. Yeah, hey, y'all, I'll tell you what, boy, this is something that our youth has to be given a different perspective in life, education, politics, economics, socialism. They have to be given better than poverty, y'all. So we have the knowledge, we have the ideas, we have the know-how. It's just now we got to get the finance to make it happen, because you can't do anything without money. I don't care who we are. We got to have land. I mean, there just ain't no question about that. You know, so I'm doing every day myself, and since I've been talking to brothers in Detroit and sisters, I've been trying to find some lands and things around here that's up in arms and trying to collectively put some money together and just to buy them so we can put do our own farming and greens, corn, squash, or whatever the case is going to be, because times like that are going to get hard like that, y'all. Believe me.
Mm-hmm.
And after a while, you're not going to have enough money to where you can go buy anything, because everything in the stores are going skyrocketing. I'm sure all y'all know that by now. A damn bag of wings that used to be at the store now was $4.45. Now they're down to $10, and that's everything I love. See, so it's getting that way, y'all. You know, so we got to quit depending on them to deal for ourselves. You know, so. But we got 2 minutes, y'all. I mean, anybody got something else they want to say? We got about 2 minutes ago. You're getting ready to cut me off. But, yeah, y'all got 2 minutes.
Let's
just
get it done by any means necessary.
That's right.
By any means.
Yeah.
But thank you, Brother Washington. Appreciate you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Hey, man, y'all, it's always a good thing, y'all.
Always.
Yeah, Ashe. So, again, y'all, I'm going to get up off here because they're getting ready to cut us off. But y'all be blessed, and thank y'all for allowing me into your homes and to your lives. All right.
I got one more K-Reno.
Uh-huh.
About the one
what's the name of that song you were talking about?
K-Reno.
Yeah, what's the name
of
it?
Yeah, I got another one, too, one more. Well, the first one was K-Reno, The Struggle Made Me Great. The struggle and the other K Reno is the struggle.
Yeah, the struggle
okay,
made me great.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what's the other one?
Yeah, he out of Texas and stuff. And K Reno, remember the experiment?
The experiment? Okay.
Uh huh.
I'm gonna go check it out.
You're gonna put something real heavy on your mind.
Yeah, man, I'm ready.
Heavy on your mind.
It ain't gonna do nothing. Make me more heavy than what I already am.
Right.
Thank you. I'll take it. Let me go. I gotta
all
go.
Right.
Let me get the colors off by 30 seconds. Y'all be blessed. I got to go. All right. Bye bye.
All right. Peace out.
Peace.